You're listening to Consider This, episode 15, for September 26th, 2012.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are. I have been informed by an anonymous source at Bain Capital that you are listening to Consider This, the 10-minute or less political and cultural opinion podcast that gives you a great return on your time investment. I am your investment banker, Doug Payton, here to guide you through the twists and turns of what's going on in the world. You're about to hear me give my take on the events of the day, but I'd like to take yours as well and add it to the show. Email me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com or visit the website at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com for many ways to get in touch. I recently added a voicemail line so your opinion can come in your voice rather than mine. You can click the Call Me button on the website, and Google Voice will call you for free, or you can dial 267-CALL-CT0. That's 267-225-5280. That's CT as in capital taxes. More on that in a moment. And from that, let's launch right into the show. Andrea Seabrook spent almost 10 years with NPR, but after covering Washington, D.C., and Congress in particular all that time, she decided to launch out on her own and start a podcast. She decided to make politics a bit more understandable, so her podcast, Decode DC, is meant to deal with helping the rest of us understand what's going on. Her first episode, entitled House of Misrepresentatives, speaks to those who believe their voice isn't being heard in D.C. One of the things she discusses, and which I found fascinating, is that the First Amendment was supposed to limit the number of people an individual representative would represent. Thoughts at the time were between 30,000 and 50,000, but currently we have one representative for between 600,000 and 700,000 people. They stopped adding representatives at 435, and the constituent-to-representative ratio has been growing ever since. Andrea asked if we can truly be represented in D.C. with so many voices competing to be heard by one person. However, she starts off by giving the breakdown of the House, by gender, by race, income, all the usual dividing lines. She notes that the group doesn't really represent the country because it's, by and large, rich, old, white men. I have to take issue with that. I entirely reject the idea that somehow our representatives must look or be the same social status as me. I vote for the person who best mirrors my values and my thoughts on government, not for the first white, middle-class, male computer programmer on the ticket. Are males in a district not properly represented by a female in Congress? Are blacks completely unable to fairly represent whites in their district? If not, then the makeup of Congress is irrelevant. My favorite example of this is that in the famous Brown v. Board of Education Supreme Court decision that did away with separate but equal schooling, 9 old, rich, white guys voted for equal rights for, among others, all young, poor, black girls. People don't have to be like you to properly represent you. First, Senator Harry Reid comes out with an allegation that Mitt Romney had times in the past 10 years when he paid no taxes. His source remains some anonymous person formerly of Bain Capital, allegedly. He beats this drum for weeks in the media and on the Senate floor, insisting Romney prove his innocence instead of Reid proving his guilt. Well, then Romney releases a summary of his past 20 years of tax returns. At no time in the past 2 decades did his effective tax rate dip below 13%. And what else did we find out? In 2011, the Romneys paid almost $2 million in taxes on about $14 million in mostly investment income. The Romneys' effective tax rate for 2011 was 14.1%. They donated about $4 million to charity in 2011, amounting to about 30% of their income. They claimed a deduction for $2.25 million worth of those charitable deductions. Their charitable donations in 2011 would have significantly reduced their tax obligation for the year had they taken the full deduction. Therefore, they limited their deduction and wound up having to pay 13% instead of about 10%. On top of that, over the entire 20-year period, the average annual effective federal tax rate was 20.2%. The lowest annual effective federal personal tax rate was 13.6%, and the Romneys gave to charity an average of 13.45% of their adjusted gross income. So, with the allegation proved false, that he paid zero in taxes any time, does the left demand accountability from Harry Reid for making these unfounded charges? Do they ask who his reliable source was? No. They ask 10 more questions of Romney. You know what this sounds like? It sounds like the birthers, who, after Obama produced his birth certificate, asked more and more questions of him and dissected the PDF file that was given to them. And what's really telling is this. If you look at the comments on that link in the show notes about those 10 new questions, there are those who are upset, okay, upset that Romney did not take his full charitable deduction for the $4 million he gave to charity so that he could say he never paid less than 13%. That jerk! He gave more to charity than he took credit for! Romney actually did what the left has been screaming for the rich to do. Give more back to the community and pay more taxes! But he did it voluntarily, not upon threat of imprisonment. Really, guys? Is that the petard you want to hoist yourselves on? And really, if he had taken the full deduction and brought his effective rate down to 10%, you would have been okay with that? Yeah, right. The screaming would have only been louder. This is birtherism for taxes. We need to come up with a catchy name for that. UN Secretary General George Orwell... Ban Ki-moon had this to say about the anti-Islam film that supposedly inflamed Muslims all over the world.
Freedoms of expression should be and must be guaranteed and protected when they are used for common justice, common purpose. When some people use this freedom of expression to provoke or humiliate some others' values and beliefs, then this cannot be protected in such a way.
So then what he's for is freedom of nice expression, and presumably he means what the UN would consider nice. Making fun of Christianity and Judaism is nice, while making fun of Islam is not nice. I'm not just guessing at that either. When has Mr. Moon ever said that following an incident of the former, yet here he is condemning the latter? He proclaims freedom of expression. Right before, he said it should not be free if it humiliates others, though his definition of others is pretty well understood, wink wink. It's become cliché now, but if Christians or Jews were to riot, burn, and kill over films or certain artwork featuring a crucifix and urine, would that get them to notice? But that won't happen, and he knows it. Being actually peaceful breeds contempt. So, tell me, what do you think of representation by someone who's not like you? Can Romney ever do anything to make the left happy? Okay, scratch that. The answer is no, so let's move on. Do you really want the United Nations determining what speech is worthy of being protected? Never mind that one. Too easy. How about this? What should we call the new tax-insane Democrats? That should be interesting. The email address is considerthis@ctpodcasting.com. The website is still considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. And the brand spanking new phone number is 267-CALL-CT0. That's 267-CALL-CT0. Operators, or an electronic approximation of them, are waiting to take your call. I'm Doug Payton, asking you to call today and consider this.